Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
This episode is brought to you by X.Church. No, not really.
Not really. No, it's brought to you by Vanderbilt and Search Group.
I'm so excited about this future site that will be going up, X.Church, about the future church, because it's just, my mind's exploding. I got so many ideas that I'm having brain leakage out of one of my ears. It's just, my mind's exploding.
Is it the right or left?
It's the right this time.
Oh,
it's
usually the right.
Kind of leaning over there, and it's not going to hit Amy J. Where there's a distance enough between us.
Probably see a doctor about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's coming up soon as well. I love looking at future issues of the church. Let's be clear. Before we even get to our sponsor, let's be clear. What are the cardinal issues of churches that won't change or should not change? Doctrine, sharing the gospel, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. There are things that will not change if it's to be a true church. So I want to give that clear foundational comment, not just a caveat, a clear foundational comment. But how we express that will change. And we're going to look at some of those key changes. We're going to look at five of those changes. And when you think of changes in the church, Vanderbilt and Search Group was one of the, just certainly on a major scale, had to be one of the most significant changes in church life, because they said, you know what? Search committees and other groups that look for pastors don't necessarily have the breadth of information and connections that we do.
Yep.
And so they formed Vanderbilt and Search Group, and it's been a massive, massive type of shift in church life. We've actually covered that as one of the mm-hmm. future things that's happening as well.
It is. And they also offer coaching networks for pastors and executive pastors this coming fall. You can register now. I think registration's about over for that. So you can find out more over at their website. But each group for these is limited to just 16 people. There's a group for the lead pastors and one for executive pastors. These are roundtable, close-knit networks where you can grow as a leader so that you can grow your team and ultimately grow your church. If you're interested in joining, you can find out more information at vanderblumen.com/coaching. And one more thing before we get started today, Dr. Rainer. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan.
Happy birthday
to Amy J.
To you and Amy J.
Yes, thank you.
You signed the paycheck, so I'm going to wish you happy birthday first.
Well, the reason I can sign the paychecks is because she gives me the time to sign the paychecks through her efficiency. Actually, I don't sign paychecks.
Yeah, I know. It's direct deposit.
It's direct deposit, but I understand your point. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Dr. Rainer.
I want to tell you I'm
Enjoy
well.
Enjoy your 80s.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
my name
paycheck.
Is Caleb, and I want to take that mountain
here
at 85 years old. Good gravy train, Jonathan. By the way, I went to Houston a few months ago and actually taught for a day in one of those networks. Really,
yeah.
Really good stuff.
I missed that one. I hate that.
I know. Where were you?
That was my wife's birthday.
There's another birthday that you should have observed, and
exactly.
I hope you didn't make any snarky comments to her on that date.
No, I mean, she's a wonderful woman.
Yes.
And she's older than me.
Oh, golly. This is not going well. Well, let's get into the five.
Okay.
There are many future developments coming to the church. We're going to cover five of the more significant ones.
All right, so the big one, and this is on, if you've listened to Rainer on Leadership at all, you've heard us talk about many of these over the years. But shifts in the multi-site model.
Okay, when we talk about shifts in the multi-site model, what we are saying is, first of all, multi-site is becoming normative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a big shift right there. It used to be just the big mega churches, just the big churches,
or just a lot of small churches. All different size churches, but they were singular units, singular location. So the fact that there were multi-site churches, not many multi-site churches, and now they are, that is one of the major shifts. But now we're talking about changes within the multi-site model. Now, here is what I think we will see. And I think we have enough evidence that it's beginning to unfold. By my somewhat objective, somewhat anecdotal. That means I have data, but I also have a lot of observation. The multi-site model has the highest rate of conversions.
Mm-hmm.
The multi-site model has the higher rates of growth.
Yep.
We still have a lot of data to do on it.
Higher rate of volunteer involvement as well.
Yep.
We have a podcast on that.
We go down the list, we see that. And so what does that mean? What we are seeing is multi-site will soon be as normative, soon, 5 years maybe, soon be as normative as multi-service.
Mm.
And it used to be that it was just so incredibly radical.
Remember when multi-service like started?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In, well, I guess late 80s maybe?
No, it was early 80s. It was more 70s.
Okay.
It was more 70s.
I didn't see it personally until the late 80s.
But, okay.
I mean, that was like, what are we doing?
We're not going to be the church. Thinking? We won't be the church anymore.
It was radical.
Yeah, it
and
was.
And now it's just, I don't know churches, many churches that don't have multiple services.
And we went from multiple services also to multiple times. So, and I'm not talking about, let me put it this way, multiple days.
Oh, yeah.
So, they're Saturday service.
I mean, a Saturday night church.
You don't do Saturday night
anymore.
No, I don't. Because your church, Jay, you do Saturday night. When I go visit Art, mm-hmm. I do Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. See J.D. Greer on a screen, and then I go look for him after the service.
I love that. Did you ask anybody this
last
time?
No, I did not. I did not ask this last time because I think most of the people spotted me and expected me to be asking.
You're
that.
You're kind of a big deal.
No, but they knew Art. We'll put it that way. Okay. They knew Art. So some of them knew me. So here is something that is endemic of this. I was talking to a Church Answers community member, and he said, Dr. Rayner, can you meet with my leadership group? And basically, he wanted me to do a Zoom call, a video conference. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it was deacon or elders, but it was a leadership group. And he said, we are ready to go multi-site. We have an opportunity, a church and another community is closing.
Yeah, and that leads us to number two. More churches seeking to be acquired or merged into a multi-site system.
So this was both and.
Yeah.
This was both and. This was a church that was struggling in a rural community about 20 minutes away from this particular church, which was near the Houston area. And the leadership was just not familiar with multi-site. And so he said, give them an overview of what's going on, mm-hmm. what's taking place. Now, here's the kicker to all this. The acquiring church is running about 200.
Oh.
And the church that's being acquired is running 15 to 20. You didn't hear of those type of multi-site.
Well, multi-site, that's what I was saying at the beginning of this, multi-site from a church of 200, that's unheard of.
Yep.
A decade ago. And now we're starting to hear a lot more about it.
And here is what they feel very comfortable projecting. We'll send 15 to 20 of our own people. They will go into that church. We'll create a new dynamic. I don't know if they'll probably do a relaunch of the new church,
mm-hmm.
Of the existing church, smaller church. And I can predict that the growth rate of the smaller church is going to be a lot bigger because it was declining.
Double in size almost.
And I bet that the growth rate of the combined churches will be significantly higher. And I would also conjecture, without presuming upon the sovereignty of God, I would also conjecture that there are going to be more conversions between the two churches than they were when they were separate.
It creates momentum.
It does. It does. It creates options. And what it does, Jonathan, if there is a leadership DNA that has an evangelistic mindset, a growth mindset, a good leadership mindset, you can then transfer that DNA to another church as well. And that, to me, is the biggest single issue of all. So the multi-site model is in the midst of shifting and is becoming common, which is the big shift.
Well, and that DNA transfer is the reason that the churches are seeking to be acquired, is because they don't want to give up the ministry or the location or whatever God has done there in the past. So, if you're faced with two options, we give ourselves up to become part of a multi-site system at this church, or we die.
Yeah.
You don't want the death. I mean, 99, I would hope that 99 out of 100 churches would choose that. If not 100.
I would hope
100 did, but I know that some are going to be stubborn.
When we get to number four, I'm going to expand upon this when we start talking about networks a little bit and some of the vision I have on Future Church. Here's what is taking place. Number one, more churches are seeking to go multi-site. That does not mean they're in an acquisition mode. It could mean they're just starting a campus.
Yeah.
I started a multi-site in 1993, I believe it was, 1993.
Green Valley South.
The Green Valley South.
Pelham, Alabama.
But it was in a strip mall or a strip shopping center, not a strip mall. And it was not an acquisition of the existing church.
No.
We were running out of space, and we had a lot of people coming from south. And we said, can y'all go to this one? And so we grew. We grew that one. So that's not the acquisition model. That's the expansion model. Both and are taking place, the expansion model and the acquisition model. But what is changing is more churches are saying, here am I, buy us.
Yeah.
Here am I, acquire us. Here am I, let us merge mm-hmm. with you. They did not know they had that option a few years ago.
Yes. Option has become possible because of books like Autopsy of a Deceased Church.
Where we talk about die gracefully by making certain the property stays in the hands of another church.
Yeah, and Reclaiming Glory.
Yeah, by Mark Clifton.
Yeah. Which so you see replant, you see, you know, multi-site churches and things like that. So.
So when I get to the networks, I'll talk a little bit more about how I'm hoping to see numbers 1 and 2 coalesce in a very positive way.
All right,
I'll wait for number 4 to come
up. Yeah. Number 3, the third development here is a return to some level of programmatic behavior.
I've said this on more than one occasion. I've written this on more than one occasion. We threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. We stopped doing programs.
We stopped doing programs, but we didn't replace them with any similar type of effort. Okay. Traditional outreach is dead, some would say. Okay? Traditional outreach is dead.
So instead of replacing traditional outreach with something else, we
did away with traditional outreach. We don't have anything.
We don't have any outreach at all.
Yep. And when I look at churches that are in a healthy, outwardly focused mode, here's what I typically see. First of all, I see the 2 or 3 hump camel. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what a 2 hump camel is. A 3 hump camel.
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
That's
it's
a pregnant camel.
This is two on top, one on bottom.
Exactly.
The 2 to 3 hump camel is the metaphor that was used by the church growth movement. They didn't use 3 hump, but they used the 2 hump, where you effective churches were having 1 or 2 major emphases a year. They called them high attendance days, friend days, or whatever, where you would see a spike.
Attendance spikes.
And then the attendance typically would not go down to the previous level, even though it would go down. And so many churches would do something like really big focus on Easter or Christmas Eve, and then they would have some type of high attendance day. Yeah. Back then, it was a friend day or high attendance
day.
That's an invite your one day. So that's one level that churches are doing this. But here's the other
level. Inviteyourone.com, by the way.
Got it. And it's in the show notes. Then the most effective churches also are doing something ongoing, not just counting mm-hmm. on the spikes, but doing something ongoing. That's what's gone away, the ongoing.
Yes.
And I'm kind of excited because I'm looking at some churches that are doing well in those areas, and I'm going to be sharing more and more about churches that are effective and ongoing. Why don't we do ongoing? Because, one, we don't think the way that we used to do it can be done, which is probably right. So we look for another way. Number 2, we don't think we have the people to do it, the mm-hmm. manpower to do it. If we're going to do something every week, we're going to wear people out. You don't have to wear the same people out. So I've got some things I'm going to be sharing in the future about what some churches are doing with ongoing outreach. But there are other programs as well. Okay, Sunday school. You did away with Sunday school. Now what are you doing for groups?
Mm-hmm. Well, some churches, I know some of the mega churches either never did Sunday school or groups. Or they grew so big that they grew out of space and they just stopped doing it altogether.
Brad Wagner was telling me about a church yesterday that grew to 3,000 without groups, without infrastructure, and the only staff member was the pastor.
How?
I don't know. Ask Brad. He was talking to me about it.
I'm going to ask him about that.
He was talking to me about it yesterday.
But you and I talked to a pastor a while back who pastors a church rather large.
I mean,
we're talking like tens of thousands of people. And whenever he took over, the group's ministry was like 10% of the attendance.
We talked to somebody? Then?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like 30,000 in attendance, and their group's ministry was like 2,500 people.
Okay.
And then, so his goal, I mean, he saw that, and it was like eyes, you know, like huge, because he knows that that's not healthy.
Yep.
And one of the emphases that they had, and they had tripled, I think in the first year of his leadership, they had tripled that number. I think it was up at like 8,000 then.
Mm.
So it was like 2,500 to 8,000. So more than tripled it in the first year and trying to get that and placing that emphasis on there. So, you know, we've seen that the church gets too big, you know, and that people think, well, the groups are just unwieldy, so they get away with groups. But that's not healthy long term.
That's the only way to do so. That is the only way to do so. So if you're doing away with a program because you feel like you're program driven, fine. But how are you replacing it? And so I do think programmatic behavior will return, but I don't think we'll call it programs because programs imply that they are the end instead of the means.
Yes.
Which they were in many churches.
They were.
We have to have outreach because that's what we do. We have outreach. Mm-hmm. No, you have to be obedient to the Great Commission. How are you going to manifest that?
Yeah. All right. The fourth one you've kind of touched on before, and so we'll unpack it more here. Rise of networks.
Yeah. Networks are volunteer affiliation of churches. Most of the time, it is a supplement to a denomination. In fact, I can think a few times it is not a supplement to a denomination. Or it is an option for non-denominational churches as well. More and more networks are going to be on the rise because there will be a desire for a common cause, a common camaraderie. I will be announcing the launch of Revitalized Network. And for those of you who will be looking, it will be at revitalized.network. That will be the website, the URL. And the purpose of this, I have just a total passion of this, is basically for churches to come together in a cooperative type of way to see churches turn around, get healthy, and become revitalized. One of the things that I hope to do in Revitalized Network, Jonathan, is basically finding churches that want to be acquired for churches that want to acquire. That's one of the things that we'll do.
It's like Christian Mingle for churches.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
No. But you understand.
There's the principle there, yes. Yes.
And so it's going to be a centrality for that, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to be healthy churches working to help less healthy churches. It will have an altruistic motive to it.
Well, it's churches working together to further the kingdom.
And usually for a common purpose.
Yes.
And for us, Revitalized Network, the common purpose is revitalization.
Exactly.
There might be networks for church planning. There might be networks for social ministries. There might be network. Look, I've known of many networks and communities that come together for food and clothes ministry so they don't have to do them individually. That's an example of network. Ours will probably not, well, I know it will not be according to the number of churches that already have indicated they're going to be a part of it, but ours will not be geographically bound. They will be purpose connected, and the purpose will be revitalization of churches.
All right. Finally, the attendance frequency issue is going to become a greater focus. We just talked about this a few episodes back, episode 447 with Jim Shepherd.
Yeah. We interviewed Jim Shepherd, CEO of Generis, and he has a new ebook out on attendance frequency. So he's really collecting a lot of the trends that are taking place and bringing them together into an ebook. But this particular issue is one that was not on the radar of most church leaders. It was basically I'm looking at people who are staying or going instead of how about those who are staying and how much they are attending or not attending. And we're seeing this issue become more and more an issue in churches because we're seeing attendance frequency decline. Many times we're waving the white flag of surrender and saying that's the way culture is. There's just so many things to do on Sundays. We're competing with the soccer. We're competing with the flag football and so on like that. Here is the reality. People will participate in something that they think is important to them and to their families.
Yeah.
And so when it's all said and done, if they truly believe in what you are doing, then they will be a part of it. Now, there's another side to it. Culture is shifting. How have we changed in the past to meet culture without compromising truth? We've had multiple services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see more multi-site, which we've mentioned earlier. We will see more multi-days.
Mm-hmm.
You were a big fan of the Saturday night worship service before you went to your church that doesn't have Saturday night.
I need to talk them into that. My wife may kill me, though.
Yeah.
She wasn't on staff at the church on Saturday nights. Now she'd be on staff.
Yes.
You'd be like,
okay,
what are you doing?
Beth, will you have a Saturday night children's ministry to take care of all of this? So there are some things that the churches can do in terms of accommodation, not compromise, but in terms of accommodation.
Yeah.
Many times we hold fast and we say, if they don't want to come at 11 o'clock on Sunday, then it's their fault.
Well, you bring that up. I think people often conflate compromise with accommodation.
Yeah, they do.
They think because you're being accommodating, you're compromising.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No.
Not always. It can be the case, I guess, but
it's not always. More times than not, does your church have central heater air?
It does.
What is that?
Sometimes.
That is an accommodation to culture. Why don't you say, let's save the utility cost of this and just let everybody sweat or freeze? Well, no, we're going to accommodate because we don't want people that uncomfortable in our worship services.
Man, people wouldn't come back.
Okay, that's...
Because culturally, we got AC.
There's some of the things that you have to do that even dedicated Christians would expect to do.
Yeah.
They expect you to have. That's not always compromise. Accommodation is not the same thing as compromise. And so... That's why when we start looking at attendance frequency, yeah, we need to be more convicted about the importance of what we do in a church, but we also need to be willing to accommodate when necessary. Five big important ones, Jonathan: multi-site shifts, acquired churches, more churches seeking to be acquired, emerged, programmatic behavior returning, rise of networks, and the attendance frequency issue.
And yes. Speaking of accommodation.
Yes.
Midwestern has done a good job accommodating new students with an online option for their flagship degree program of the Master of Divinity degree.
And that's not a compromise.
It's not.
That's accommodation.
They still offer a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, giving you everything you need, nothing you don't. You can join other students, like we said, in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church, or, like we said, also study online in your current ministry context. They've accommodated online students with their MDiv. Used to couldn't get an MDiv online. You could only get like an MA or something, but not at Midwestern.
Jonathan, there used to not be an online. There used not to be an internet.
That's
just
true.
Just thought I'd let you know.
I don't know that world, Dr. Rainer. But Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. See, not compromising there. Why not start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv? That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Two notices of things that will be going up in the future, x.church.
Yep.
About future church, and then revitalize.network. Those are two future ventures that I'm incredibly excited about, and they're not compromised. Their accommodation. This was episode 450.
Yes.
I know that we usually don't celebrate the 50s, but this was episode 450. Just to let you know, Brad Wagner is binge listening to Rainer on Leadership and Revitalize and Replay.
I'm sorry.
So, Brad, when you get to 450, ask me what socks I had on, because I know it will really, really bug you. It may be a while before he gets to that. It may be Christmas before he tells me that he made it to episode 450. But Brad, if you're listening, ask me what socks I wore.
All right. And also next Thursday, so this, well, 2 days from now, we will have the 50th episode of Revitalize and Replant in just a couple days.
Wow. Cake.
So, well, no, what I'm saying is like, that's 500 total this week. They kind of converged. And we hit 500 total this week.
500 between the two. And how many do you have at SBC this week?
170-ish.
So you're almost at 700.
Yeah.
Podcasts. You're Mr. Podcast.
Wow. I'm going to hit 1,000 before long.
I know. So you're doing four a week.
Yeah, 4 a week. Yeah. So it adds up quickly.
Yes, it does. Wow.
So
thank you, listeners. That's why we do
it. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at tomrainer.com, where we're growing healthy churches together.